This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air. This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Well, time now for us to catch up for a conversation with Tangini Mafaleti. He's the manager of the Pacific Islands Centre at the University of Otago. We thought we'd catch up just to find out a little bit more about the centre itself. And, hey, it's Samoan Language Week. That's good news too. We'll talk about that with Tangilima as well. Talofa Lava, good to have you with us, Tangilima. Thanks for coming in.
Talofa Lava, Jeff. Nice to see you again. Nice to be back in your whare again. Nice to reconnect.
It's been a while since we've talked, and perhaps some of our listeners out there might not know too much about the Pacific Islands Centre at the University of Otago, so perhaps we could start with a little bit of conversation about that. Tell us a little bit about your role and the centre.
Sure. So my role as manager is really about facilitating the work that comes out of the centre. And so a lot of that is focused on academic and pastoral care. A lot of the support that students would need in that transition from a secondary school environment to tertiary. So that's a core part of our work, is around that transition work. But also it's the ongoing kind of maintenance support while they're studying at the university. So my team do find themselves spread across campus doing with their fingers in many different areas, with a focus to try and ensure that Pacific students are able to access as much of that support and the resourcing that's available to them.
Do you have a finger on the pulse in terms of the number of students who identify as Pacific at the University of Otago?
Yeah, look, I think for last year, and the thing is, because we've come out of a couple of years of COVID and interrupted learning for a lot of the cohort that come out from outside of our Otago region, that has kind of either change the numbers or it's ramped the numbers up a lot more. And so we are in a position where we feel that the numbers of Pacific are steadily increasing again, as they did last year. So probably ballpark, we're possibly looking around 1,600.
Mm. You mentioned COVID.
Yeah.
A huge challenge.
Yeah.
And of course, I guess you probably came on board smack in the middle of all of that, did you? Or around
well,
about
well,
that
actually,
time?
Just be, well, yeah. End of 2020, March 20, end of March 2021, I started.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there was a period of transition there for the university, just kind of coming back online, so to speak, or coming offline. And so I was pretty fortunate to be able to be welcomed into my role and actually have more than a designated number of people attend. But, you know, as the year progressed and then we kind of went into more of our COVID traffic light restrictions. So I think it's just become part and parcel of how we operate now. And now that COVID is a big part of our lives, and it's and people just try to manage as best and as well as they can now.
And of course, there would have been the concern for people here on the ground, students in their flats and so forth. Mm. But amplified even more, I imagine, would have been concern for people back at home, and for any student who moves away from home.
Yes.
It's a challenge. But for those who are distanced by water, by many hours of flight, by cost, all of those things, I imagine that would have been a key point, a key stress point for a lot of students at that time.
Absolutely. And it wasn't just the Pacific Island Centre that was feeling that. And a lot of our support services or student services were feeling were feeling that pressure and under the pump. And so, as you said, we did have students that that are here studying that have come as international students. And were in the predicament where they weren't able to travel back home to their families, and their contact was either just via phone or a video call. So it became, it was more important for us as locals to ensure we could wrap around as much as we could around some of those students and their needs. And I need to acknowledge there were a lot of agencies as well in the community that had all kicked in. I mean, Te Kaika were in full force around their vaccinations at the time. And then, of course, you had the Pacific Trust Otago, who were ramping up their services available to students and staff as well. So where we could, we just kind of got in behind, worked with other Pacific staff on campus, with Te Huka Mātauraka Māori Centre, who were across the road from us, and in an effort to try and provide a network of support in a more collaborative and more meaningful way.
And I suppose in that regard, a lot of those connections, a lot of the things that you learned through that period, they'll stay in place, COVID or not now, right?
Yeah. Well, I was quite fortunate in that when I started, the tomoaki for the Māori Centre had just started the week prior, Michelle Taito and MacDonald. And so both Michelle and I have been in and out of each other's pockets since that time. And so we've made a real deliberate decision or effort to ensure that we collaborate on as much as we can, the both centres. Also acknowledging that there are times when we need to do our own work in our own particular cultural context. But as the opportunities arise, if we can collaborate on a lot of that, on what we need for students, then we will.
When we talk about the Pacific Island Centre, of course, we're talking about students from many different nations with many different backgrounds and experiences. And that's part of the joy of it all, I guess part of the challenge of it all as well, in terms of the support that, COVID or not, that the centre wants to wrap around them in terms of supporting their learning. In that regard, how, in what ways does the centre provide opportunities to acknowledge culture and to stay connected to homelands?
Yeah, I think one of our mandates as a centre really is about ensuring that, and we pride ourselves on the fact that we promote the centre as a home away from home for all students. And so with the language weeks that are celebrated here in Aotearoa, we can get behind that as much as we want, but we try and get behind the work that the student associations are doing on campus. And so because we have a number of Pacific student associations, we do try and resource the activities that students would like to do over that time. And so I know for this week that OSA, who are the Otago Samoan Student Association, have been busy with events in the evenings or throughout the day. And so we will just tautoko or resource where we can to ensure that that they feel that they're being supported with those activities. And so we'll do that for the rest of the remaining language weeks that will be celebrated in the upcoming months. But, you know, I think aside from those focused language weeks, we are pushing and promoting and flying our flags all day, every day. And so I think a lot of people know that since we've relocated to 520 Castle Street and we're right on campus, we're right in the main thoroughfare, so you can't miss us. You can hear us, and you can smell the kai that's coming from the buildings. But you can hear the laughter. You can see students who are coming in from all cultural backgrounds, who are using the centre for tutorials or for study, for workshops, or even just to go and meet up with other friends. And so that's how I'd like to see the sensor being used, and it's certainly the way that it is being used.
So your visibility is through the students themselves and the things that the activities that they choose to engage in.
Absolutely.
The supports that are external from the centre as well as those that are in place there.
That's key.
Yeah. You're Samoan born.
Yes.
What does this week mean to you, Samoan Language Week?
Oh, it's always, you always feel proud. You always reflect on someone who was born in Samoa but raised here. I think about the learnings that my parents had bestowed upon myself and my siblings growing up, and how things kind of go full circle, and you start to think, well, you know, probably wasn't really responsive to a lot of that for Samoa growing up as a young child, but now, as a parent. And seeing your own children and also in the work that I'm involved in at the university, that there is a place for culture, for language. I feel an immense amount of pride. And certainly in my office, when you walk in on my wall, there's a Samoan flag that sits there proudly on the wall. And so that's always kind of back of mind, a reminder for me that, you know, that who I am and where I come from.
If we were to visit the Pacific Island Centre, I imagine we'd hear a number of different languages being spoken, within the walls of the centre. You encourage that?
Absolutely. I mean, in my own staffing, my staff are Samoan, Tongan, Kiribati, Samoan, of course, but also we had a staff member who was Tokelauan as well. And so for me, diversity of languages or Pacific cultures is really important, because we know that our young people who are coming here to the university are not just one Pacific culture. Some are, but a lot are coming through and able to celebrate, you know, other parts of their ancestry that they carry. So it's really important to me that we reflect those values in everything we do. And so I would expect that you would hear, and you do. You do hear Tongan, you do hear Kiribati language, you do hear Samoan, you do hear Māori, because we have our Māori students who come in as well. And so that should be a hub where Pacific can be Pacific.
When you look at what's ahead of the centre for, say, even just the rest of this year, any particular priorities, any particular focuses at the moment?
For this year, I think, well, we've just come through the graduations ceremonies, because we celebrate Pacific student achievement and success with breakfast on the mornings of the graduation. And we look forward to August, and then, of course, we have our graduations in December. At the moment, our focus is on some of our outreach programs with our secondary schools, and ensuring that they're prepared with the... and given information around some of the scholarships that are available for entrance to the university, but also for some of our programs that we run, like a summer school program that we run called Kickstart, which is enables and it kind of gives students an opportunity to gain some credits before they actually start their degree. And the credits they gain over that six-week summer school program, which is a Māori and Pacific program, can go towards any degree that they undertake. So, so the team are busy just trying to make sure that we've got those things in place. Of course, we're always prepared for anything else that might come our way, and certainly there's a lot of activity on campus at the moment. So I think we've just... Yeah, things feel good down there. I feel pretty positive around how the work of the centre is progressing. I'm very blessed to have the team that I have the privilege to work with, and also the colleagues that I have to work with. So we're there to do a job, and that's to ensure that the well-being, the pastoral, academic care of those students is looked after. And I think we do a good job.
I'm absolutely sure you do. Tangi Lima Fileti, great to talk with you this morning. Thanks for taking some time to come and have a chat with us here on the Awesome Morning Show. All the best to you and the team and the great work you do.
Thank you very much.
And to all of those who, of course, are celebrating Samoan Language Week too, hope the week goes well for you and indeed for all our Pacific communities.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air. This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.